SBS Audio is supported by advertising.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to SBS News.
The Yemeni Houthi group has attacked ships in the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean, and the US Central Command says the group presents an imminent threat to US coalition forces and merchant vessels in the region. The Iran-backed Houthis have been targeting vessels in the Red Sea and the Gulf of Aden since November 2023 in attacks that they say are in solidarity with Palestinians during the Israel-Hamas war in the Gaza Strip. But Dr. Ian Rowlby, who's a maritime security expert with the Atlantic Council, says that they're engaged in a sustained assault on global maritime commerce. He told SBS's Gary Cox, it's about far more than support for Gaza. He says after years of fighting in Yemen and claiming to be at war with the United States and the United Kingdom, the Houthis are thrilled to have finally achieved widespread visibility, and they pose a significant threat to the region and the world.
Well, the Houthis really only have one speed, and that is to escalate. They are an imperially minded group that are not only looking to expand their influence and their messaging, but most importantly, their territory. And so part of what they have been doing over the years is cultivating options for how to attack and expand. In 2016, they started the process of testing out different kind of remote control bomb boats. They were very primitive. They weren't very good. They blew up a pier in the process. But by the time the Galaxy Leader was taken back in November of last year, it was very clear that they were going to progress through a series of escalations. And this is yet another version. In fact, in January of this year, I testified in the U.S. Congress that this was a likely outcome of an ongoing escalation campaign. So we're here now, and the question is, how do we respond? Because the accessibility of autonomous technology at this point far exceeds what it was even 2 years ago. And so the Houthis have, perhaps through inspiration from not only their own experiences, but those of the Ukrainians and others who are in very hostile settings right now, have found opportunities for attacking ships using unmanned systems, both aerial and now surface, that have really a huge impact on the ability of ships to move freely through the Red Sea. It's going to be a very difficult few months if these attacks continue, especially at the pace that we've been seeing them over the last few days.
We've already seen a reduction in shipping through the area of something in the order of 3/4. And they're escalating with this new hardware they have, the surface vessels. How serious a threat are these surface vessels?
They're extremely serious. I mean, you only have to go back to Yemen in 2000 to recognize how dangerous a vessel laden with explosives can be. In October 2000, the USS Kola, a US Navy warship, was actually attacked by a small vessel laden with explosives that not only blew a hole in the hull of the vessel, but killed 17 sailors at that time. This is now a much lower risk opportunity for the Houthis. They didn't have to have suicide bombers on the last several attacks. This is a high-tech, low-risk, high-impact type of technology that allows for them to wreak complete havoc. They are merchants of chaos, and so this is very in line with their overall ethos of trying to create a more and more visibly difficult situation in the Red Sea. As you say, the numbers are down. However, there are clearly still ships going through, and we'll see how many of them continue to make that choice to traverse the Red Sea after these latest attacks.
Yeah. And now you have said it's not going to be a quick fix. It's a long-term problem. How do those trying to protect these waterways recalibrate now?
Well, part of the problem with this is that the Houthis have used not only aerial and surface vessels, they've also used unmanned underwater systems at times. And so what we're looking at are threat vectors from all directions. Not only is it a particularly difficult situation in the immediate vicinity of the Red Sea, but the Houthis have shown using Iranian technology and other technology that they can project force well beyond the immediate borders of Yemen. And so the picture becomes increasingly complicated by the day, because what we have done over the last several months is sort of swat down what they've sent at ships to the best of the abilities of the navies that are present, but we haven't actually gone after what matters to them. We haven't changed their center of gravity in terms of the motivation to continue these attacks. Until we compel them through kind of action that is geared towards their own motivations, we are not going to change the situation at all. We're only going to potentially mitigate some of the damage. But even that is becoming harder and harder. And so we have to target what it is the Houthis care about. That is the control of their territory. That is the control of the narrative. And we have allowed them to hold both their territory and their narrative for these months unchecked.
You've previously alluded to the likelihood that this has gone beyond the Gaza-Israel conflict. Tell us more about that.
The Houthis have been a singular entity for many years. They have a very clear idea of what they want to accomplish and where they're heading. The Israel-Gaza situation was an opportunity for them to hop on a convenient narrative, use the plight of the Palestinians to advance their mission, and use Israel to protect themselves. So long as we have allowed them to continue the false narrative that what they are doing is actually protesting Israel's incursion into Gaza, they have been essentially immune from any kind of repercussion regarding any of the neighborhood. Egypt is suffering horribly. Saudi Arabia is suffering. Oman is suffering. UAE is suffering. Qatar is suffering. Everybody in the neighborhood are suffering. But because taking action against the Houthis could be seen as being an action for Israel, everybody has been somewhat reticent to actually move. And so the Houthis have done a masterful job of controlling that narrative in such a way that they've safeguarded themselves from all kinds of different interference and points of pressure that might have changed the circumstance. So the Houthis couldn't care less about the Israel-Gaza situation, except insofar as it benefits them. They have killed more Muslim Arabs in the last 10 years than the Israelis have in the 75 years of its existence. And so this is not about feeling any kind of sympathy for the plight of the Palestinians. It is about how they can do best to advance their own mission to have an empire that will one day, in their minds, be headquartered in Jerusalem. There is the Israel connection that they so care about. But their perhaps delusional notions of imperial advancement have thus far been unchecked. And so this is where we have to change not only what we are doing to protect ships, but how we are trying to compel the Houthis to stop attacking the maritime space writ large.
What do you read into the fact that some of the naval capability in the area is actually being pulled back?
So I think, frankly, it is a good time for the navies to start reassessing whether this mission is appropriate. The gray hulls, the Navy ships, have become targets for the Houthis. And so as long as those targets are still present in the area, the Houthis are going to keep firing at them. And so it does make sense at this point to redivert those assets, especially since nothing that the navies have done have changed the motivation of the Houthis to attack shipping. Equally, with a two-thirds to three-quarter decline in the amount of ships traversing the Red Sea, you have to ask, who is still going through? And is it appropriate for the navies to be protecting those ships at this point and risking not only their own reputations, but the safety and lives of the sailors and seamen who are operating in a legitimate, legal, lawful capacity on board both gray hulls and commercial vessels? It is perhaps not worth the risk. And so at this time, it does strike me that the navies may be better off focusing their attention elsewhere while other efforts are geared towards trying to change the circumstances that have led to these attacks in the maritime space in the first place.
We've heard a lot of nervous talk about escalation, warnings about escalation. How do you address this without regional escalation?
Appeasement is feeding a crocodile and hoping he'll eat you last, as Churchill said. And unfortunately, what we've done thus far is appease the Houthis. They have wanted a fight with the US and the UK. They've gotten it. They have wanted global visibility. They've gotten it. They wanted international credibility. They've gotten it. And so thus far, we've actually fed the Houthis exactly what they have wanted. And so escalation has been what has been occurring. The Houthis have taken us from taking a single vessel on the 19th of November all the way up to blowing up multiple ships in a week using unmanned systems. We have really traversed a landscape and seascape that we had never expected and never seen before. At no point in history has a non-state actor from land with limited naval assets, if any, been so successful in interfering with global maritime commerce to the extent that the Houthis have. Now, it's very careful. We have to be very careful not to elevate the Houthis to the level of a naval power. We have seen major naval engagements in the past, and there are major navies that have had similar impact. But the Houthis have managed to undermine not only global commerce, but the rules-based order in such a way that we have really not done a very good job of taking a step back, considering how to go back after them and to change the circumstances, because we have to go after their leadership. We have to go after their territory. We have to go after their narrative, all of which they care about. And so until their leaders feel like they are under threat and that maybe the people around them could be selling them out, until they're feeling like their hold over the land that they already control is perhaps threatened or jeopardized, particularly coastal areas and particularly the port of Hodeida, they are not going to change. And until we are all willing to change the narrative so that they cannot position themselves exactly where they want themselves to be, they are not going to change.
Are you seeing that kind of positioning from allies?
We are not yet. Unfortunately, most of the alliance has, whether it's NATO, the EU, or just the coalition of the willing, has failed profoundly in understanding the Houthis. We have a real strategic deficit at the moment. The Houthis are incredibly predictable. They're not a rational actor the way we normally would define rational to be. However, they do make sense if you follow their track record. They love to make the US, the UK, the West, the UN look terrible at every chance they get. Even if they hurt themselves in the process, they will take actions to make everyone else look bad. That's something that they do. They love to escalate. They love to renege on promises at the last minute. They love to do spectacular acts of violence just to make a point. And so there are all kinds of things that they have been doing for many years that if we paid enough attention to, understood, and then translated into the current situation so that we could make sense of how perhaps to change their behavior, we may be able to find points of pressure. The problem is, every time we come up with something that may be doable, the situation escalates to the point that the window closes on what that action may be. And so speed and accuracy in responding in an effective way that actually counters them is absolutely critical, because they now have almost 8 months of momentum. And that is going to be very hard to turn around, especially in their own minds. They've recruited, they've fundraised, and they have built up an incredible force behind themselves. And unfortunately, that spells bad, bad news for not only the neighborhood, but for the rest of Yemen, as it is likely that they're going to try to make more of a move on some of the territorial areas in the near future. So what they do on land is going to be critically important, because the more they are able to expand on land, the more bold they can feel with regard to their maritime attacks.
Okay, so you're sort of alluding to my next question, and probably the final question, as to where do you see this in 12 months?
In 12 months, we have two options. We either thwart them, or we have a major conflagration where the states of the region are going to be forced into having to push back against a group that is unafraid of creating chaos beyond what every other actor is willing to do. I mean, even other terrorist groups have not shown quite the same level of just recklessness regarding all kinds of supply chains that hurt themselves. The Houthis do not mind hurting themselves in the process of hurting others. And that's something that we have to keep in mind. Iran is very measured in how it attacks. Even some of the other terrorist groups in the region have not shown quite the level of chaotic proclivity that the Houthis have shown. And that is a very, very dangerous situation if we do not start to reverse some of the gains that they have made over the last 8 months. I think at this time, one of the things that we need to start looking at is, how do we target the Houthi leadership? We have seen some change over the last few weeks in the attitudes of some of the leaders because of a policy change regarding banks. The banking system has been allowed to continue to operate in Sana'a, and turning off the SWIFT system for the banks that are choosing to continue operating in Sana'a has forced those banks out of Sana'a. That has changed the Houthi access to money, to the global economy, and to some of the power moves that they have been relying on over the recent months. And so That kind of initiative where we materially change the position of the Houthis is absolutely critical. At the same time, we need to be asking, why is the UNVIM mission not checking all of the ships that are coming into Hodeidah, knowing that the Houthis are still accessing more and more advanced weaponry and technology? We need to be very vigilant in checking every vessel that goes into that area, and the UN needs to step up that activity. We also need to start looking at how the supply chains of not only weapons, but other material goods are getting into Yemen to support and supply the Houthis with not only the weaponry, but the sustainment that they are so desperate for in order to continue these attacks. And so there are a lot of different ways to stop somebody from attacking. You don't just have to blow them up. And in fact, the Houthis love to be bombed. So let's look at what we can do that will actually change how they are motivated to continue both the attacks at sea and potentially a move on further undermining the sovereignty of Yemen.
Why do people want to be at work? To feel heard, appreciated, part of something, and to know there's a career path for everyone. Inclusive workplaces are linked to increased innovation, productivity, and employee satisfaction. Make your organization a place where people want to be. For inclusion and diversity training, visit inclusion-program.com.au.